fire and let Dr. Lawana Steins guide you to a life of purpose and fulfillment. To reach Dr. Lawana Steins, call 760-315-1967. That's 760-315-1967. Or visit atouchfromabove.org. And now, here's your A Touch From Above host, Dr. Lawana Steins.
God bless you. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Dr. Lawana, and this is A Touch From Above. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you. I enjoy those emails, so please make sure you continue to write to me. Let me know you're listening to the program. And not only that, you know what? We have an opportunity to go even more so on radio. So, you know, if you'd like to keep me on the radio, support. Log on to our website, touchfromabove.org, and click on the radio and give to the radio. Let's go on in Los Angeles. Let's go on in New York in the Bronx. Let's go on in Miami. Let's go on in Texas. Let's go on in Hawaii. Let's take this radio program, this message, and take it all around the entire United States of America. Amen? Amen. Join and support. Amen? atouchfromabove.org. Thank you so much for joining me. You know, I want to touch on a heavy-duty topic this afternoon, and it's Proverbs chapter 9. You know, okay, I'm just going to read it to you. And this really is heart-gripping story in this Bible, and yet it's so needed in this generation right now. Let me read to you. I'm reading out of Proverbs chapter 9. Let me read the first verse, and then I'm going to go over to the middle. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn it out of seven pillars. Let me stop there. Okay, now I'm going to go to verse 10. Ooh. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me days will be multiplied and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house, on the seat by the highest places of the city, to call all those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, King James Version said, whoever is stupid, let him turn into her. Let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Ah, but he does not know that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Let me stop there for a moment. I want to talk to you about the demonic lies of lust. You know, you have to be very careful in this generation. The Bible tells you and I that lust is wicked. You know, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 6 says, the righteous of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. You know, we're watching in our generation where, you know, you can't even watch television. You know, I don't even watch regular television today. I know people laugh at me. They say, you know, what do you watch? They ask me, do I know even any of the preach? I don't watch any junky TV, period. I don't have that Netflix. Yeah. Anyway, I don't have any of that stuff. I watch the old movies my kids got me. They know that I like the old movies. They got me a big old box full of Bonanza movies, The Rifleman, Leave It to Beaver, you know, because you can't watch television anymore. It's so full of garbage unless you are disciplined and watch Christian movies, because they're filled with nothing but a seducing spirit of lust. And you have to be careful. Because a lot of times you think, oh, well, you know what? I'm going to be okay, you know, and I can watch that. No, you can't. Why? Because Jesus said so. Why? He said, the eyes are the windows to the soul. If the eye looks upon evil, how much more evil will there be that dwells within you? You see, you have to understand, whatever's inside of you, it's going to come out, darling. There's a treasure chest in there. And whatever's in there, whatever you're looking at, whatever you're watching, whatever you're feeding your soul, in time, it's going to come out. You know, Jeremiah was a prophet to Israel. And Jeremiah, oh my goodness, boy, he went through it for preaching the straight truth. You know what Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah to tell the people of Israel? He said, they were like a well-fed, lusty stallions, everyone gnawing after his neighbor. Do you understand that most of the time you can't even walk down the street? Hey, baby, what's your name? Hey, you know, all the garbage out there. You're watching the perversion. We all watched the thing that happened with Harvey Weinstein, the vile corruption of rape after rape after rape of young women who were trying to get into the movie industry. Can I tell you, you have to understand something. It's producing a nothing but the demonic lying spirit of lust. Jeremiah once again tells Israel in Jeremiah 13, verse 27, I have seen your adulteries and your lustful gnawings, the lewdness of your harlotry, your abomination on the hills and the field. Woe to you, O Jerusalem! Will you still not be made clean? Can I tell you, we have to understand something that's so powerful. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, oh my goodness, my goodness, my goodness, God is speaking. And here is Saul. Saul, my goodness, lust for things. God tells him in 1 Samuel chapter 12, you know what? Saul, God told him to destroy all the stuff from the enemy, but Saul was lustful and he wanted all the goods and he took the goods and he disobeyed God. His lust for fame, his lust for recognition. Do you realize that pride and lust are the things that kicks Lucifer out of heaven? The Bible says to the prophet Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, reading in verse 12, so when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel. Indeed, he set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Do you understand what Saul was doing? Set up a monument for himself? Do you understand he was so full of self-pride and self-exaltation? He had no idea. He had just disobeyed God. And he, in his mind, you see, lust and pride bring a spirit of deception. And you have to be careful with that. Matthew tells you and I in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, but I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery. Do you know that I hear people say, well, you can look, but you can't touch? That is stupid. Sorry, but that is ridiculous. Did you know that it cost David when David went to the edge of his roof to look? And he looked down and he saw Bathsheba taking a bath. And there was Bathsheba and he looked. Don't tell me it's okay to look. We see all around us wickedness, but you better turn your head quickly. No, there's going to be all around you. Temptation is going to come. What you do with that? But David looked and looked and looked and looked. And you know what? It cost him something. I've even heard pastors say, well, it's the nature of man to look. You know, you can look, but you can't touch. That's ridiculous. Why do you put yourself in that situation? Can I tell you that it cost David so much? It cost him a child that was born out of wedlock. It cost him the death of a child. It cost him almost his ministry. Can I tell you, you can't just look. The Bible says that, he makes it very clear, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Jesus warned, lust is a destroyer, and you and I have to be careful. Nathan the prophet came to David and he said, David, what is this that you've done? And you see, David was guilty. He was guilty, but you know what? He repented and he got his heart right. And later you can read in the psalm, he said, I will put no thing before my eyes. Oh, Lord, forgive me. And then later you find in 2 Samuel, you see, the Bible is filled with warning. Ammon, who is Ammon? Ammon is one of David's sons. Ammon rapes his own sister, Tamar. Don't tell me you can play with lust and think you're going to get away with it. You know, the Bible tells us that the Apostle Paul dealt with sexual sin in the Corinthian church. Here is in the church in Corinth, here it is, a whole church that's just gloating. You know, Paul writes to the Corinthian church, It is actually reported, I'm reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. Do you understand what he was doing? This man was sleeping with his father's wife. Don't tell me this Bible doesn't give you warning. And then Paul says something powerful. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you? For indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, I have already judged as though I were present him who has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand what Paul is saying to the church there? How many do we see that go to church that are living in immorality? You see, because the gospel has not been preached in its clarity, the wages of sin is death. If you are still involved in immorality, sexual immorality, sleeping with your boyfriend, listen, I've been in ministry for 43 years. And there's times where I'm on television, I'll get calls, excuse me, Dr. Lawan, I need for you to pray for me. My boyfriend is moving out. Excuse me? I said, well, are you saved? Yes. How long have you been saved? 7 years. I said, how long has he been saved? 10 years. I said, what are you doing living together? Well, we're kind of married. What do you mean kind of married? You're not kind of married. You're fornicating. What has happened in our generation today is a little leaven has leavened the whole lump. We have allowed so much corruption to sneak down into and bleed into the body of Christ that many do not realize that they have defiled the whole entire body of Christ. And I'm talking to you. I know there's righteous people out there. Don't hear me bad here. Well, who does she think she is? I'm a preacher trying to tell you, you need to either get married or move out from your boyfriend or your girlfriend and stop your hanky-panking. Hello, I'm talking to you. There's no such thing as you kind of married having all those babies out of wedlock and then think that you're a Christian and then go to church and lift your hands. Hallelujah. No, 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 no. Paul is dealing with the Corinthian church, and you know what? And this is what we need today in our generation. Why do you think lust is so rampant, not only in the world, but it's snuck into the church? This is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. Do you know what he's saying? Get him out of the church, because when the devil gets through with him, he's going to come back crawling and realize he needs to repent. We have to understand something here. He goes on to say, he said, deliver such one. Why? Because if you don't, it will defile everyone else in the church. And one does it, the next one does it, the next one does it, the next one does it. And then your teenagers do it and everybody else. It's a spirit. It's a demon spirit of seducing lust. And the Bible says, Paul said, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you are truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. This is why Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, because they have allowed people in that church. Here it is, this guy who's sleeping with his father's wife in Corinthians chapter 5. What in tarnation is the church doing puffed up? And you are puffed up and not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you? You see, we cannot allow that stuff to happen. You know, I love everyone. I've been in ministry for many years. And so when they come to my church and, you know, I understand the new convert. So when the new convert comes to church and they're living together and they don't realize it, but they hear the word of God, then I begin to talk to them. Then I find out, well, yes, they're living together. Now they receive Christ. So then I say, okay, guys, we got to talk. We need to make a decision here. What do you mean? Well, seeing how you two are living together, let's get you married. Oh, I don't want to get married. Excuse me? You better quit trying to play house, too. I said, you know what? You can't fornicate. God loves you. You're in fornication. We got to get you guys married. Well, I'm not ready to get married. Well, how long have you been living together? Well, 4 years. We got 3 children. Excuse me? Oh, my gosh. What are they saying there? They're deceived. You have to understand something. They either will hear the truth and then get married. Now, when they come in and they're new converts, you know, we have that grace. And then I pull them aside and I talk to them right away. All right, what are we going to do, guys? We love you. Let's have a wedding for it. And we'll even throw the whole wedding. I had this wonderful couple. I think about it and it makes me laugh. Well, I shouldn't be laughing, but they were 75 years old. They'd been living together for 20 years. And I said, why are you guys living together? Well, we don't want to mess with our Social Security. I said, oh, I said, do you know what the Bible says? I know, but we haven't done that in a while. I said, no. But you did, right? Well, yeah, every once in a while, you know, and you know, he's still a tiger. I said, oh my gosh, you know what? You guys need to get married. Well, we don't have any money to get married. I said, don't worry about the money. We're going to marry you next week, and our church is going to take care of it. You know what we did? We went out. We got a beautiful cake. We ended up having all the people bring something for a potluck, you know, and we ended up having a wedding right after church. I call it the Jesus People Wedding. And we married them, and you know what? And they got married in the Lord, and they were happy, and they cut the cake, and they were crying, and Jesus did something powerful. But they ended up getting married. You see, you have to deal with that today. You can't allow lust to come into the house of God and never deal with it. And the Apostle Paul goes on to warn again. He said, but now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral. Ooh, let me read this whole verse because we don't deal with this anymore. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone who's named a brother. He's not talking about the sinner. The sinner doesn't know any better. Sinner sins. Who is sexually immoral or covetous. Oh, so you don't believe in paying your tithe. Why, you little covetous monster, you. Uh-oh, you's in trouble. Or an idolater. Oh, I am so wonderful to me. Can't you see I'm everything I ever hoped for? Get yourself off the throne. You become an idol. Or a reviler. Oh, well, you know what they said. Causing trouble everywhere you go. Or a drunkard. Well, I can drink margaritas, you know, God, I can have a vodka and margarita. No, you're a slush and a drunk. Stop it. Stop it. Don't make excuses. Or an extortioner. That's somebody who uses and takes advantage of people. You know what Paul said? Not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those who also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? He's talking about inside the church. Can I tell you, if this gospel was really preached, we wouldn't have mega churches, quite frankly. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Because if this gospel was really preached like this, when you read this word, ooh, smackorama, it gets people offended. And when people are offended, they do two things. Forget it. I'm going to go over there down the street. And I'm going to find me somebody that's just going to love me just the way I am. You know what? I love you enough not to keep you in the same condition. Because one thing, I'm trying to get you to heaven. I'm not trying to give you religion. I'm trying to get you to stand before God and Him say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. So when Paul pioneered the Corinthian church, and then Paul went on, Paul is writing back because he hears in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he gets a letter from Chloe, and Chloe's going, ah, Apostle Paul, all these things are happening. They're trying to bring in Judaism, sexual immorality. Somebody's sleeping with their father's wife. And so Chloe's writing a letter, and she's writing all these problems. Paul gets this letter, and this is what the whole book of Corinthians is about. Now concerning this, now concerning sexual immorality, now concerning the spiritual gifts, what was he doing? He was dealing with the problems in the church. You and I have to understand something. This Bible is our basic instruction before leaving earth. B-I-B-L-E, basic instruction before leaving earth. We have to get this word down deep inside of us. And I'm telling you, sexual immorality has run rampant, not only in the world, but rampant in the church. Don't get so quiet on me. Y'all are making me nervous. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Do you want God just to give you up? You want God to give you up to your mess? No. You know, you don't want to be under the judgment of God because of foolishness and because of lust. We're seeing that in our generation today. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged, let me say that again, who exchanged, that means you had something, you can't exchange anything you haven't had, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. What happened? They said, you know what, I don't believe that. You know, I love you. I don't care what your opinion is, but if it doesn't line up to God's word, it don't matter what you say. And Paul writes in Romans, and he gives us warning. He said, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Do you understand how they ended up in that state? Did you know that most people, and I've been in ministry for 43 years, and I've worked with a lot of people who have come out of homosexuality. Do you know that most of them were raised in church, but they backslid? They exchanged the truth for a lie. Romans chapter 1 makes it very clear. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness. And he gets that whole list. Can I tell you that God loves you and he wants to set you free? And you have to flee from the devil. You can't give him a place. You give that devil a ride and he wants to drive. You give him an inch and he'll take a mile. You let him confuse your mind and try to bring you into, stop listening to the garbage of the world. Get the stinking TV off and get rid of your phone if you have to. Because the junk of pride and all of that garbage today is nothing but demonic, and it's surely of the devil. And I tell you, Jesus loves you and he wants to set you free. And Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. We've got to be ready. Be therefore ready, for no one knows the day or the hour of my coming. For behold, I am coming quickly, says the Lord. So listen, turn to Jesus today. Pray with me. Jesus, please forgive me. I'm so sorry, Lord, for being stubborn and rebellious. I've opened up the door to rebellion. I've opened up the door to lust. Father, forgive me. Come and be my Savior. Rescue me from myself, Lord. Rescue me. Please, Jesus, put my mind in order and help me to walk according to your word. Let me not just be religious, but let me be truly born again in your spirit. Please, Jesus, deliver me from this bondage of lust. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You said that prayer? Do me a favor, write to me. God loves you. You're so important. You're so important. And I'm sick and tired of the devil tormenting people. And it's your time to be free. God bless you. I love you. You have a great, fantastic, awesome, amazing, wonderful, Jesus-filled day. God bless you. I love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Dr. Luana Steins. Have you read her book, A Mother's Story? It's a must-read, a heart-gripping true story, a murdered husband, a single mother, and a fight through cancer. For your gift of any amount, you'll receive her book, A Mother's Story. Send your support to A Touch From Above, P.O. Box 2800, Ramona, California, 92065, or give online at atouchfromabove.org. Join us Sunday at 10 a.m. for a church service up at the Prayer Mountain, 16145 Highway 67, Ramona, California, 92065. We're only 35 minutes from anywhere in San Diego County. And besides, a church alive is worth the drive.
Join A Touch From Above Prayer Mountain as they present The Book of Ruth, a live drama, March 29th and 30th. Don't miss this powerful story of Kinsman's Redeemer, which represents Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Come early at 6 p.m. to save your seat or call ahead. Show starts at 7 p.m., limited seating available. Call 760-315-1967. A Touch From Above Prayer Mountain, 16145 Highway 67, Ramona, California. atouchfromabove.org.
Are you distracted? Seems like everything gets in the way? Come to A Touch From Above Prayer Mountain, 25 beautiful acres. Walk up to the cross or relax in a small private cabin to pray. Bring your leaders to pray. At Prayer Mountain, God answers prayer. Even Jesus had to get away to pray. Call today and make your reservation, 760-315-1967. Your answer is just a prayer away. atouchfromabove.org.